And this, you animals that are back here listening to me today, welcome, welcome back to the show. There are tons of you out there. You're flocking, you're frolicking, and you're very attentive, and I appreciate that. You are closer to the throne than any beings. At least the animals representing you are closer to the throne of God than are the 24 elders. So you're important. And to your owners, I say, it will help you appreciate the animal creation, the fowls of the air, the wild animals, and the domesticated animals. Will help you to appreciate them even more when you see their proximity to God. Hi everyone, this is Martin Zender, and welcome to human and animal creation as well, to the bipeds and the quadrupeds. The millipeds can just go away. Thank you very much. I inadvertently credited the cartoon of the dog barking to Bob Larson, who is unfortunately the Christian cult expert. I mistook him for Gary Larson is the cartoonist that I meant to credit there with a bark, 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 hey, hey, hey manifestation. So welcome again to all the animals. And if you've heard this account before, what I'm about to tell you will probably make you think I'm crazy if you don't think it already. If you've heard this before, bear with it again. But I once ministered to an entire herd of cows. It started with just one cow. This was probably 20 years ago, and I lived near a dairy farm, across the road from a dairy farm back in the day. And I was going on my daily walk one day, and this single cow was at the fence. You know how stupid they look. And they have these giant noses and snot coming out of their noses, and they're chewing, and they look at you like their brain is the size of a pistachio. This cow was no different, but I started to talk to this cow, and I said, you know, I can tell that you're groaning here in the field. This is not your ideal life. You didn't ask to be born here. And as I said this, the cow was paying attention to me, minding my words. And I said, but I'll have you know, Romans 8:20 says that you will be delivered from this corruption to this slavery to corruption. And I quoted in the exact words out of the Concordant version, the expectation that the creation itself also shall be freed from the slavery of corruption into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Just the fact that I realize animals are in slavery to corruption right along with humans, this endears me to the animals. And they, again, that's where the knowing glances come from, because I recognize that they are enthralled to this bondage, just like we are. So I'm telling this cow this, and I'm telling this cow that, yeah, I don't mean to be bragging. I'm telling this to the cow. I don't mean to be bragging, but I'm the key to your deliverance. And it was as if the cow said, what do you mean, Martin? And I said, well, it's Romans 8:20. In expectation that the creation, the premonition of the creation is awaiting the unveiling of the sons of God. So I know, even though you can't articulate it, that you are awaiting, in some way, my unveiling. I got that knowing look, as if to say, you know, there is something strange I noticed about you. You seem different than the others. Yeah, because the others are living for their paycheck, and they're living for their creature comforts and their wants of this earth, and they don't have one foot in the next creation like I do, the new creation. I had a feeling you were familiar with the new creation. Yes, I am very familiar with it. I'm longing for it. And so your freedom depends on my unveiling as a son of God. And the cow was getting this. I could sense it. I'm not some kind of, you know, cow whisperer. But then again, I may be. I think I am. I'm not limiting this to cows. I've had the same experience with cats, especially with cats. And I believe even the insect world recognizes in me one who is about to be unveiled as a son of God. You can't say this of everybody. All creation is going to be saved, but not all creation is a son of God. And this is the particular slant of the passage awaiting the unveiling of the sons of God. They're awaiting it. How is that? Your parents don't know what it is about you. I have a friend who lives south of the equator, and she is totally in tune with these truths that we're talking about. But her parents have no idea what she's talking about. She will make a statement at the dinner table, for instance, concerning that we are going to judge messengers, judge angels. And they look at her like she's crazy. She's 16 years old. Her parents are obviously older and wiser. Yet, they do not recognize in her the innate wisdom of God. And that she is a son of God about to be unveiled. And she is the focal point of the entire creation. And no wonder then that she finds solace by going into the wilderness and fellowshipping with creatures. That they have more sense, the creatures do, in this case, I'm sorry to say, than her parents. And I think Jesus found the same thing. I wonder if even the animals talked to him when he went alone by himself into the wilderness, if he found fellowship with the creatures. They knew who he was, but the priesthood didn't know who he was. His own disciples weren't sure who he was. So there was more fellowship found with the animal world. And you think this is crazy, and you hear of people communicating with animals, just when you start to think that this is nuts, you read a passage like this and you find an innate intelligence of the animal creation, that their deliverance again depends on you. This is where I ended yesterday. It's where I'm starting off today. And so as I'm telling this to the cow, I decided I was declaring the evangel. And there's actually an evangel that goes out to all creation. It's in Mark. It's called the creation evangel. It's heralded among all creation. I don't have the specifics for that now, but it's very interesting that it says all creation. And the same phraseology is used here in Romans 8, all creation. The premonition of the creation is awaiting the unveiling of the sons of God. For to vanity was the creation subjected, not voluntarily, but because of him who subjected it in expectation. There's an expectation that the creature has. An expectation that the creation itself also, that is, above and beyond us, the creation itself also is going to be liberated from the slavery of corruption into the glorious freedom of the children of God. So that word also in there, that's inspired, dark face type, means that not just you. Again, the evangel today is so me-centric. It's all about me, but it's not just about you, because you're the key to this other creation. So I was talking to this cow, and I had to go. I said, I got to look. I finished my walk, but, you know, here it is. There it is. Enjoy the rest of your day. And as I'm walking down the fence rail, all these other cows came, and the whole dang herd came to the fence, and they're walking along with me. And so I decided, man, I'm going to keep going. So I had it was like a preacher and his congregation, only the congregation were cows, which is interesting because I could have gone into the Methodist church in the town where I lived, which was Greenwich, Ohio, and I could have gone into that church and heralded the same word to them, and they would have left. They would have pelted me with large rocks, and they would have disfellowshipped me and give me the right foot of fellowship. And so I would have had no home, just like our Lord had no home in the synagogue, in the temple. He had a home among the ruffians, the dregs of society, the underbelly, the bottom dwellers, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the fishermen. And so I say that this ministry of ours can go even, quote, lower than tax collectors, fishermen, and prostitutes. It can include cows. So I had a congregation of bovine, and they were all looked as stupid as ever. Their brains were no bigger than they were before, and yet the premonition of the creation is awaiting the unveiling of the sons of God, because I'm the key to their deliverance, their freedom from the slavery to corruption. And so they're all listening to me, and I'm heralding the evangel to the cows. You won't be mooing forever, ever. The day will come when you too shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. And they were just like, sounds good, Martin. And as always, just like the other animals say to me in their own way, hurry it along. And I said, I'm doing the best I can. All animals will eventually praise God. They are presently near the throne of God, and they're going to praise God and Christ. And these animals, that are at the throne, they pray, they sing with the 24 elders, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of creation." They acknowledge their creator. They know. They know. Isn't there a passage in, Proverbs or Ecclesiastes or Psalms? Read the whole Old Testament, you'll find it, where the animals are dismayed when God takes away their food. They recognize that they have an owner and that it depends on God to give them their food. Oh my gosh, I had a revelation last night and I forgot. I meant to tell you, I had a revelation as to why there's only two chapters in Ezekiel dedicated to the description of the spiritual realm. Behind the scenes look, and why there are 22 chapters in Revelation with a behind the scenes look at the spiritual creation. But this is distressing. I don't have time to give you that. I'm going to have to wait till Monday to give you that. But I have so many other things to say besides that. This vision that I had, I corrected the Gary Larson thing. I told you about the cow. I want to tell you the difference between the soulish creation and the plant creation. I told you before, I feel very sorry for your plants, for your rhododendrons. Those of you who have palm trees outside growing in your yard, God bless you. If you just have a shrub like I had when I was a kid, 4 shrubs, crabapple trees. They're not moving living souls. A soul, something that has a soul, has sensation, has feeling, and it also moves. This is a definition of a soul. The plant is not a soul because it's not mobile. It can't move under its own device, and it has no feelings. I once saw a show. Some guy on the show was making the claim that plants scream, that when you mow the grass, this is like carnage. And it's like a mass murder of the blades of grass. And somebody mic'd it. Or they put some kind of sensor and they heard the grass screaming. And when you cut a plant, it does some crazy thing. Well, this is nonsense. It's crazy. The reason your plants grow when you talk to them is because you're spewing oxygen in their general direction. It's nothing to do, or carbon dioxide, whatever it is they like. What do they? Oh, yeah, they like carbon dioxide, and they breathe oxygen, right? So we have a deal. We do have a deal with the plants in that, I'll tell you what, you suck up my poison, okay, and I'll suck up your oxygen. So our waste material they love. Give us the waste. Don't mean to say the plants talk. I have no revelation for you that any plant ever talked in the Garden of Eden or otherwise. No plant ever spoke to a prophet and told him not to hit it or mow it or trim it or prune it. No, I have no revelation for you on that because it's not true. So if, you know, you're attached to your plant, I would enjoy it now while you can, because that plant is not a living soul. Therefore, it does not have a soulish body. Therefore, it does not have a corresponding spiritual body in the resurrection. I'm sorry if this is a disappointment to you. I would still continue to water them. I would still continue to talk to them. And I would still continue to allow them to beautify your environment. I would still chop them up and put vinegar and oil on them and garnish them with tomatoes, which are another plant. Sorry for those of you who have an emotional attachment to tomatoes or cucumbers. You have a deeper problem than what I can cure here on the show. Continue to listen here to the Revelation series, and you will receive further enlightenment concerning the fauna and the flora, the plants and the animals, and the purpose of God for each.